Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
Brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is wow.
Oh, my God.
And he's doing a great job.
I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
They are Stymie and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I didn't say it.
You all right?
I'm fine.
I'm all right.
Oh.
Well,
Guru's not.
We miss you, Guru.
No Guru today. He's a little death in the family he's taking care of.
Yeah, RP auntie.
Yes, absolutely. So no Guru today. Evan Giddings in with Matt Steinmetz. And, yeah, you see the games last night?
I sure did.
The NBA games?
Oh, actually, that was electric.
That.
Yeah, sorry, Spadone. That was an unbelievable fourth quarter in Denver. I was watching at the Napper Tandy on Van Ness and Mission.
Oh.
And there were a lot of people there that were not really invested in either side. They're watching the Giants game, got to win, whatever. So everyone's just kind of straggling, hanging around, watching the game. And when Murray hit that shot, it was like, I thought it was a Nuggets bar. Dude, the people were, people were electrified by what the Nuggets did last night. It was incredible.
No, it wasn't what the Nuggets did. It's what the Lakers did not do. They were all rooting against them. That's what it was.
Did I see, though, that, and I know there was some officiating, there was some crying about the officiating in both games.
Ah.
Did LeBron have a three that was wide open that could have put the game away and then Murray hit the shot?
Yeah,
they would have won up by three.
Okay. Referees, referees closed the rim, though. That's what happened.
Spadone, you know, I don't like to take part in this kind of mockery. You know that, right? I just like to watch the games, and those are two
You're
great
You're even
teams.
Keel, Stein. Thank you. You have no true allegiances. You're like the Shire in the Lord of the Rings.
Exactly.
Don't
like Talia Shire, who was also in Rocky. So she's in Lord of the Rings. And then
also The Godfather.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Exactly. So...
Talk to me, Steiny.
I'm trying to think, you know, how I want to bring this up.
There's only one way to do it.
Okay. So the Warriors have some moves to make this offseason. We're pretty sure that they got to change the team. To what extent, we don't know. Is it a tweak here, a tweak there? Is it an overhaul? Is it letting Clay walk? Is it seeing if you can move Draymond Green? And the idea of Steph Curry is now out there. And the one thing with us, since we talk about the Warriors every day during the season, we don't talk about Steph Curry as a trade piece very often. And here's the bottom line. The Warriors aren't going to trade Steph Curry. All right, I'd be shocked if they trade Steph Curry right now. But there's something that seems to be happening, whether it's Scott Osler here in the Bay, whether it's John Hollinger or The Athletic, is it feels like for the first time the topic of considering moving Steph has come up. And the way I look at it with Curry, and I'm trying to set this up because I'm not really sure where it's going to lead. But to me, Steph's not going anywhere right now. But if you're starting to consider how to make this team better, then maybe down the line it becomes more reasonable. Not right now. Like, I don't think, to me, the Warriors have not considered trading Steph Curry. Okay, so if they start to consider trading Steph Curry, that still means we're probably 9 months to at least a year away from even doing something like that.
No, I agree. You can't do it But the first step in anything is talking about it. And I don't think it's a coincidence that both a local, being Scott Osler, and a national, being John Hollinger, writer, both brought it up around the same time, because everyone's looking at this roster. And Steiny, I mean, you guys have talked about it. Me and Goo did last week when you were out. There's just not many options for this team if you do want change. I mean, we've discussed how to shake this thing up. Do you bring Clay back? And I mean, at the end of the day, it's funny because at the deadline, Shams Charania brought up the fact that the only person who's safe on this roster that you can't trade is Steph Curry.
Right.
Well, naturally, and looking ahead, looking down the line, is, well, if this team is no longer a playoff team, if they're no longer a contender, well, then everything has to be on the table in a sense, because that's generally what follows. Like, right. For example, you know, they're not in the same category, and the championships are what makes this conversation kind of, a brick wall for a lot of people. But there are teams every single year that have to reconsider their place in the association, and they have to think about trading their star players or moving off of this guy or who not to extend. And when Steve Kerr said a few years ago that this is the real NBA, well, we're starting to see this is the real NBA offseason. That these are the choices that people will not necessarily make, but discuss. And before, this was a non-starter. This was off the table. This was taboo. This was, you do not talk about it. Right. But in 24 hours, we've seen two people bring it up. And I don't think that noise is going anywhere if the Warriors are in the same position this summer as they were next summer.
Yeah. Yeah. 888-957-9570 is the number. Scott Osler, respected columnist here in the Bay. He brought it up. But we've gotten texts and we've gotten calls over the last 3 or 4 months from fans who think this team maybe is, you know, past its time of winning titles, and the best way to get back on track would be to move Steph Curry. I don't think we're there yet. We're also going to get into the NFL draft. We got Ricky Williams today at noon, one of the most dynamic running backs in the NFL. I looked at some of his numbers, man. He's still, like, he was considered a little bit of a disappointment, but he's still like 29th all time in rushing yards, and was part of one of the most historic trades in the NFL. So we're going to talk to
Williams. Got to go look at his college numbers. I mean, that's why people believe he might have left some on the table.
6,700 yards, I think, at Texas.
The dude was unbelievable. In fact, I want to ask him how much he thinks he could have made in NIL.
Oh, boy.
Dude, like Ricky Williams.
You got to be careful about that, because apparently his first contract wasn't.
Wasn't great.
No. I
mean, come on, Ditka.
It wasn't a great contract.
It moved heaven and earth for him. He traded an entire draft for this guy. He couldn't even give him a decent salary.
Well, hey, 49ers are going through it with Ayuk right now. We'll find out what's we'll talk about Brandon Ayuk too. Listen to some more what John Lynch has to say. You know, the other thing as we bring up Steph Curry is, and I think it's a challenge with every player who's getting up there, but with Steph, I do think it's different, and that is this. How does a great, great player age? Because you've got to figure out a way for that great player to age within a winning environment. Like when Tim Duncan got to be 37, 38, 39, he was playing 25 minutes a night, and he had a certain role, and he didn't have to be the number one option. The one challenge I see with Steph right now is he's still the best player on the team, and it's not really even close. So if he's the best player on the team, but he's declining, but he's still playing at a really high level, it just complicates things. Like, how close are we till Steph starts to come off the bench, do you think?
I don't think we're
a year or two away.
Yeah, I don't think we're close to that.
We're not close to that. So, you know, I look at Kobe Bryant.
In fact, if he plays for the Golden State Warriors, I don't think Steph is ever coming off the bench. Even if he's playing 25 minutes a night, you're going to hear his jersey announced. 30, Curry. He's not. I don't think that would happen.
you know, I look at how Kobe Bryant went down to the Lakers. He didn't make the postseason in any of his last 4 years. And one of those years he was hurt, but he didn't, you know, the Warriors have to be very careful. I guess what I'm saying with Warrior fans is, I mean, is it fair to consider it? And here's what I'm thinking, because I don't think, look, nothing's happening right now. But to me, you call Steph Curry in, and it's Steph, and it's cooler heads prevailing. It's Steph sitting with Joe Lacob and Mike Dunleavy. And you start having a dialogue. And I think if you're Mike Dunleavy and you're Joe Lacob, you have to look at Steph and say, Steph, I mean, we can try. We can have the best intentions. We can try to make every move under the sun this offseason. We can go further into the tax if we have to. We can cost cut if we have to. We can try to get a big boy if he's out there. If he's not, we can go in another direction. We can bring Clay back. We cannot bring Clay back. We can think about Draymond moving on. We cannot think about Draymond moving on. But you know what? The odds of us being a title contender next year, Steph, I mean, you see it. We see it. So what do we want to do here? I mean, I think that's the conversation that has to be had. And then you have to listen to what Steph Curry says. It's one thing when Steph tells the media, hey, I just want to win. All right, well, maybe that's going to mean we have to do some things that you don't want to do. And is that okay with you? You know what I mean?
Yeah, what's Curry's breaking point? I don't think we're even close to being there yet. And I think that's kind of the point of the articles or the conversation, the dialogue is, like, if Steph says he wants to retire a Warrior, you do everything to make that happen.
Right.
That's just the facts. Like, you have to do that. But the question I'm curious if people, I don't know, want to broach is, you know, what does it mean to people to have a lifer? Because right. Duncan's the ideal lifer, which is, I think he made the playoffs each of the last 3 years of his career at age 40. He was playing 25 minutes a night, but I think the team still got to the second round. They were 2 or 3 years removed from a championship. Like, that's the ideal route. But you take a look at Kobe Bryant. I don't think Kobe Bryant made the playoffs the last 3 or 4 years of his career.
Right.
Dirk Nowitzki, the other big lifer from our generation, did not make the playoffs his last 3 years in Dallas. And Dirk's got one championship. Kobe's got 5. Steph's got 4. Duncan's got 5. I mean, these are the guys that we're talking about in regards to one jersey beginning to end. And one out of the 3, and potentially one out of the 4, is the only one that went out on top.
Right.
And Duncan didn't even win in his final year. I mean, they still had a steady decline from winning the championship in 2014 to when Duncan eventually retired. And then the Spurs were left in, you know, relegation land.
Right.
So how does Curry view this team, to me, is the question that he needs to ask himself this summer. And if it's still, if his allegiance is to the Warriors and to that building and to the brand, well, then by God, you got to make it happen. But if you're talking about the conversation between Dunleavy and Lacob and Curry and all the rest, and there's some semblance of, I'm not so sure. Well, right. Then I do think that these pieces or these things that are being written are not off. Like, these are the beginnings of conversations that are going to happen probably for the next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or 2 years.
Absolutely. And this is interesting from the YouTube chat, baby brother. If I'm and I got the retort for you, baby brother. If I'm the owner and someone in the front office suggests that we look into possibly trading Steph, I'd fire them on the spot. Yeah, that's not what Joe Lacob does. And the fact of the matter is, I believe we have an owner here in Golden State that wants to know every single possibility under the sun. And I think I'm in the minority here, but I don't know. I think nothing's off the table for Joe Lacob. I don't think he wants to trade Steph Curry, but I absolutely positively believe that if Joe Lacob thought he could move Steph Curry and come out of it on the other side better in a shorter period of time than he could have imagined, in a better financial spot than he could have imagined, and at a better competitive spot than he could have imagined. I actually believe Joe Lacob would do that because I think he is, at his core, a businessman. And yes, Steph puts butts in the seats, but Joe Lacob, in my mind, has a confidence about him that he thinks he's going to get somebody after, and I'm not saying he can't, but I think he thinks he's going to get another superstar after Steph leaves here, and they will win again, and it won't be as long as people think. And that's one of the reasons we love him, but it's also one of the reasons that I don't put anything past Joe Lacob in terms of what he might or might not do. Like, we can't talk about Joe Lacob being one of the biggest risk takers of any owner that we've seen in the Bay Area and then not think he won't do something bold. That's what we love about him. And that's another reason why I think this is a topic of conversation. I do think there's something, and I can't quite put my finger on it, but there is something about Steph being here before Joe Lacob that's, to me, the last thing for Joe Lacob to check off on his box. And I don't think he wants to start it right away, but it's going to be, can I win after Steph leaves? That's the last thing Joe Lacob has on his box.
But Lacob's also smart enough and understands basketball enough to realize that, like, you do kind of, like, you do owe your franchise player whatever he wants. I mean, Lacob grew up, what, a Lakers fan? Or was it Celtics?
Celtics.
So, I apologize. But there are marquee players throughout the history of basketball that have been owed certain things that don't necessarily get to call the shots in regards to the roster, but they do get to dictate their future. Like, Steph Curry gets to dictate his future with the Warriors, and that's why I don't think, for as much of a killer as you know him to be, and I guess I've started to learn, I don't think Lacob is someone that at this point is bringing up that subject with Steph unless it's brought up first. Like, I think that these reactions we're seeing today about should the Warriors consider it are just based on the avenues they have available to them, which it does appear. If you trade Curry, you're moving into a full rebuild, and you're trying to recoup a massive amount of draft picks and all the rest, and you're kickstarting this franchise from zero. But if you don't, how can you realistically improve it around Curry? And what we're starting to find is, at least right now, before July 1st, when everything opens up, there's not a lot that the Warriors can realistically do, either because players on their team don't have value, they're too old, they're overpriced, or they're too young, and there are not enough assets in regards to talent or young talent that can go fetch you something worth basically giving up your future for when your future right. already looks like it's a little bleak. So the conversation about Steph to me is as much about, yes, I mean, would Curry want to do this? What does he want? He said he wants to win. I think he wants to win in Golden State.
Sure.
I don't know if the Warriors believe that for the next 5 years, like, Curry is going to be, well, he'd be in his 40s, but for the next, I guess, four seasons, I would put him at 40. How many playoff appearances do you realistically think you can get Steph Curry? That's the question they got to ask themselves. And if they think that they can get two or three, well, then maybe you do lean in on the last 4 years of Steph's greatness. I don't know.
And yeah, and you know, I'm looking at the Xfinity mobile text line, and this is 408. You don't sell your golden goose. Joe Lacob's not an idiot. A businessman won't get rid of Steph ever. Okay, like,
that's a good point.
I have a retort for every definitive statement, and it would be this. I thought Joe Lacob just wanted to win. I thought winning was the most important thing to Joe Lacob. Like, if winning is the most important thing to Joe Lacob, then he believes that if you win, he'll sell out the building. The building will sell out if you win. So if Joe Lacob looks at this team and says, well, we're not really winning. Yeah, the building sold out because of Steph. Sure, I think he's got to start thinking, well, I guess we could still sell out the building as long as Steph's here. But what happens when Steph's not here and you might have nothing in the cupboard? then are you selling out? I don't know. I don't think so. But, I get it. He's a businessman, but he's also given no indication that he wants to do anything other than win at all costs. And maybe that makes Curry a casualty down the line.
I don't know about casualty, but I do think the 408's onto something. It's, I mean, yes, Joe wants to win, but he also understands where the Warriors are, who they are, the brand they have. And I do think that's valuable to him as well. The fact that they have Chase Center and they are seen as a marquee franchise. The reason why they're a marquee franchise, and Lacob has a big part to do with that, but it's because of Steph Curry. So in a way, you know, I think you do set yourself up, unless you have another golden goose in your back pocket, or a golden goose you think is going to be that guy. I just don't see how you can make that move. Because if you're wrong, there are far more ramifications to me, Steiny. If the Warriors decide to, for example, trade Steph or move off of Clay or trade Dre, if they go somewhere else and win,
right,
and you're still stuck in mediocrity or worse, a lottery team for the foreseeable future, like, that's worst case scenario. And that deflates your brand. That decreases what people believe the Golden State Warriors are, in my opinion. I would look at them differently. And the last place that Lakeb wants to be is where they were when he bought the team, which was irrelevant.
Right. No, you're right. You're right about that. 888-957-9570 is the number. Look, the bottom line is we're going to see it, and we're going to hear about it more and more. Scott Osler, San Francisco Chronicle, wrote about it today. Is it time to start thinking about maybe the unthinkable? It was in John Hollinger's story in The Athletic. And it's always under the caveat, well, they probably won't, but if they want to, they could. Meaning trade Steph Curry, or think about it. And what's striking me is we've gone from never in a million years to, well, it's something that they theoretically could consider. Well, my feeling is if you're just starting to consider something, it's still not going to happen for quite a while. But, I mean, I'm looking at this, and after taking in all the information, maybe the Warriors simply bring Clay back at a fair number. They let Chris Paul walk. They try to use their taxpayer mid-level for a backup point guard. And they come back next year and try to win 50 games and be in the top five. And if that doesn't work, maybe next year at the trade deadline we're in a different spot. But it does feel like, you know, everybody's kind of throwing that out there about Steph Curry, and I think it's the longest of long shots. But I think the owner here in Golden State is just the kind of guy who has shown us that he's willing to roll the dice.
I mean, I also think too, it's, you know, why are people writing these things? Why are they suggesting that this could be a possibility? Why are they doing that? Excuse me. And to me, it's because there's not much else left. Like, there's not much else left to evaluate, to figure out how you can go up. The Warriors have been going down since they won the championship. Second round team, didn't make the playoffs this year. So how can you reverse course?
Right.
And an option has to be kickstarting or restarting this thing. I don't think that's the one they fall on. And in fact, we can talk about it on the other side. I do think that we're more likely to see the same version of this year's team with a couple of minor adjustments next season than not. And the reason is because I think of what was brought up today and written about today. Those are conversations and questions that people don't have answers to or don't want to have yet. But it's going to get louder and louder next season. And the Warriors, I mean, in a way, they have a lot of freedom because I think there's just options to move pieces to not. But And they're also in the most bleak part of whatever you believe is left of this dynasty.
A reminder, you can catch all 4 hours of Steiny and Guru on the free Odyssey app. You can now download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal First Class Money Market today. 888-957-9570 is the number. Is it time to think about it? That's all. Just think about it. I think we're still a long way. But is there any way you would think about jumpstarting the Warriors' future with what some people think is the unthinkable? 888-957-9570.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
That was Kevin Harlan, TNT. Lakers got beat yesterday. Sixers took a 2-0 lead over, or Sixers lost.
Yeah, 2-0 Knicks. Well, but before we get into that, I want to give some credit to Joe Spadoni because it takes a big man to come back with that highlight when you watch your team lose on a walk-off buzzer-beating shot. I'm sure it didn't feel good. I'm not going to lie, Spadoni, I didn't watch the entirety of the game, but I know there was a blown lead, and I just want to tip my cap to you and say you're the bigger man today.
Appreciate it, Evan. You know.
Now, does that mean anything?
It is what it is. I fully expected it. It's nice of him to say it, but it's part of the job. I get paid to do that, so it's fine. I have to put my personal feelings aside for the audience sometimes when I'm in this role.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you know.
No, you don't. That's what you don't put aside.
I feel like now I would be doing the listener a disservice if I did not play a highlight from one of the best games all season.
All right.
It was a pretty good game.
Warrior fans, you wish you could get beat at the buzzer in the first round. That's what you can do stuff like that.
No. I'll just say this. When the Warriors got eliminated, I didn't say anything. That's just all I'm going to do.
It was a Saturday.
That's true.
Lots of things to do. I mean, look, the weather's been fantastic. I guess not today.
Yeah,
but yeah, a little hazy. But no, this weekend was fantastic. I mean, I don't know. It's just it is weird. Don't get me wrong. It is strange not watching the Warriors in the postseason or feeling like, okay, I got to lock in. You know, Tuesday, Thursday, they're playing these days. But in a way, watching stress-free basketball. Sorry, Spadone. It ain't the worst thing in the world, to be honest.
I'm going to be honest with you.
What?
What are you eating?
Yeah.
I just finished the bagel.
Yeah, you can see it in his teeth. No toast. On YouTube and Twitch.
Oh, I'm going to have some poppy seeds in my teeth.
Powered by First NorCal Credit Union.
It sucks that the Warriors aren't in the playoffs. It sucks.
Charles, I'm too upset about it, though.
I mean, look. You don't understand how I set my weeks up. Oh, Warriors play Tuesday and Friday.
That's true.
Okay, so where am I watching the game Tuesday? Well, I'll watch Tuesday at home with my daughter. Wednesday, I'll go out. Yeah, they F things up for me, too. Come in on a day like today, they may be at 1-1 against Oklahoma City. I don't get to hear Guru say, Steiny, they got a run in them.
That's true. The moment the Warriors lost, the thought did not run in my mind. Man. How's Matt Steinmetz feel about all this? It's tough.
Well, of course. I mean,
how's it going to affect Steiny's day-to-day life now?
This is where the fandom comes out. It's not necessarily a fan of these teams, but it's a fan of the experience surrounding them.
Absolutely.
I mean, you got to figure out which cafeteria you're going to be at. You know, when you're going to watch the game with a friend, with family.
We're going to
be rooting on the... Well, I don't know about that part.
Here's the problem. The problem is...
Watch Game 3 over at your house this week, Steiny.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
After the NFL draft.
The problem is that clearly
Steiny needs that,
a majority of the, or a good percentage of the Warriors fan base has moved off the idea that they can win a title. at least next year. But not my partner. That's the problem.
Who, me?
No, Goo.
Oh.
You know, Goo thinks...
Hey,
yeah.
Get off the guy.
I mean, listen...
He's
I,
having a hard day.
That's true. I'm just, I don't want... What was that for?
What was that one?
Oh, that was
He's
the
passing the ball.
Oh, boy.
He takes a swing. I don't see what happened. We're a little... We're on the delay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Watching it from here, because I think we were watching the same angle. Like, right. you were watching on the screen, and I was back here in the studio. I felt bad. I felt bad for the turf. Felt bad for the club.
It's tough to take that kind of divot with a driver.
Okay, so Jamal Murray took a...
I felt bad for Guru a little bit.
Well, I kind of. I took a... So, yesterday, Jamal Murray's shot was tie game, you know, walk-off, whatever. But the shot before to tie the game with 29 seconds left, like, there's a pressure that I think might even be more than the walk-off, because if you don't make that shot, the game's essentially over.
Right.
There is a ton of pressure in taking the first drive of any tournament. Like, at least as an amateur. I'm sure as a pro, you just get up there, you swing. But no, like, if you're playing golf and you're starting a tournament like you had to do yesterday, there's a lot of pressure in that shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, the first one didn't go well. But second one, got it off the tee, hit it over the water. At least as far as I could tell.
It was close, let's put it that way.
Okay.
Here's the question I keep asking myself.
Yeah.
And I did this a lot yesterday, because again, I think he's the most important person. But Joe Lacob, do you think this is enough for Joe Lacob? You ready? You re-sign Clay at a fair number. You let Chris Paul walk. You sign somebody to the mid-level.
Tyus Jones.
You think that's enough for Joe Lacob? I don't. And that's the one part where I disagree with a lot of some Warrior fans who think that Joe's overly worried about selling out the building, like, after this era is over. Because I think he's looking at it like, well, it's either over now, or it's going to be over at the end of next year, or it's going to be over at the year after that. But it's going to be over. It's either over now, or it's almost going to be over pretty soon. So I do not think that Joe Lacob is going to be okay with the status quo, but there may not be, like, I think he's going to try to do a lot of different stuff, but I just don't know what's going to be out there.
Well, and that's why I don't think, is a non-playoff team good enough for Joe Lacob? No. But what's the best you can be? Like, I think that's also the question you have to ask, is what's realistic? Like, how much better can you get between now and next season? If you think it's 5 games, 10 games, if there's a move out there that can get you into the 50-win category, well, then I think he's going to be open to doing anything to achieve that. I just don't think he, along with the rest of that front office, see anything out there that right now, at least, is good enough to just all of a sudden tear this thing down to the seams. And it's not about selling out the building. It's about remaining competitive. I mean, maybe they're also looking at this season and saying, well, 46 wins next year might be good enough for a top 6 seed. And then we get to host some playoff games and see if we can make a run. Like, I also, one of the reasons why I do think that fans, and a lot of ones that have called in lately, are not looking at this team like a title team, is because we're starting to not hear the aggression or, I don't know, just sense of urgency from, example, Mike Dunleavy in his exit interview that indicate that they believe that they're a title team. The indication from the franchise itself is that we think we're a good team, we're going to try and be competitive, try and make a run here, see what we can do. I have heard nothing since the end of that season, signing against the Sacramento Kings, that indicates to me that those people in that building believe that they are all of a sudden going to transform back into a championship contender, especially watching what we've seen in the first round of these playoffs.
I tend to believe it. And again, I know that they were good on the road, but there's no way, this past season has been good enough for Joe Lacob. Like, there is no way he's okay with sitting at home when over half the league makes the postseason, and he's won four titles, and he's still got Steph Curry, that he's okay with this. And now, to me, again, don't forget, and because people think, oh, he's not okay with losing. Yes, he was. He was okay with losing when they traded Monte Ellis. Like, don't forget, like, Joe Lacob, when he says, oh, the goal is to always be competitive. The goal is to always be, yeah, that is the goal. But sometimes to be competitive, you might have to take a step backwards. And he was not afraid to do that at the beginning of the dynasty in 2012. He took a step back knowing that Monte Ellis was healthy, Andrew Bogut was hurt, and that they were going to lose. They were going to lose, but he did not want to lose a draft pick that turned into Harrison Barnes. And they tanked halfway through that season. So that's the other thing I don't put past him. If he's got to make a move like that, I'm not saying it would involve Steph Curry, but I'm telling you, he would just say, sometimes you got to take a step back to be competitive in more of a hurry. I don't think he's afraid of that particular scenario because he did it before. Now, he didn't do it when they had four titles, but doesn't that give him more wiggle room or more goodwill from the fans?
I think in one way, you're kind of shackled a bit more by the championships because of the expectations and all the rest. But secondly, I also think those moves made sense. Like, it wasn't as if, I mean, you were trading a fan favorite, yes, in Monte Ellis, but how good were you really with him? Like, I think that's the other thing you have to consider, too, is that was not a place in the Warriors' history that was very bright. So whatever move you made, I mean, you had ammunition to fall back on of, well, this previous front office made this trade, there was that bad trade. I mean, the franchise was accustomed to every trade that the Warriors made or every draft, most draft picks that they made, just not panning out.
Right.
So, in a way, there was a lot of freedom back then. And he pulled a lot of correct strings. And, in fact, you brought this up in the Vine last week, and I thought it was interesting. Like, what's the best move that Joe Lacob has made? Because he's going to have to make a great move, right, or a couple of great moves this offseason to get this thing back on track and back to where he wants it to be, which is contending for a title. The best move that I thought that he made was hiring Steve Kerr and Bob Myers, because I think those were two guys that at the time were a little unproven in their specific roles, and it took a lot of trust and it took a leap of faith, which is a big reason why the Warriors are in the position they are now, not just those two people, but the leap of faith of trading Monte Ellis to clear room for Stephen Curry. The leap of faith, you know, to take a step back, to tank, to assume that your front office is going to make the correct decisions to make it competitive. I think Lacob might also be looking at this offseason from that standpoint of, well, I put these people in positions of power for a reason. Maybe I also need to let them do their jobs.
Yeah, 888-957-9570 is the number. We're talking Warriors. The first week of the playoffs, or at least the first 4 or 5 days, to me, has been pretty impressive. When you watch the playoffs, let me ask Warrior fans that, because I think that's where we got to start. When you've been watching these playoffs, do you see the Warriors as, well, we belong? We're right there. We just had some things not go well for us, but we're right there. We could be with any of these teams. Maybe not the top half, but, you know, we're as good as the Lakers. We're as good as the New Orleans Pelicans. We can play with the Mavericks and the Clippers. Or do you look at the playoffs and say, you know what, we're further behind than I thought? The season ended. I was disappointed, but now I've seen the playoffs and realize we don't belong. We don't belong in the playoffs. We're just We're not as good as these teams that are playing right now. Like, to me, this all begins with whatever Joe Lacob thinks. Not what we think. What does Joe Lacob think is a realistic assessment of this team? And that to me, is the inherent challenge that the Warriors have. Because I'll give them. They're not terrible. They won 46 games. They have some young pieces that are coming off really good starts to their career. They still have Steph Curry. But I think we got to get out of the notion that a two or three really good moves get them back into the NBA Finals or as a title contender. Like, I do think that's holding the team back in a way. If that's the only, like, if your avenue is, well, bring it all back, or we need to make a few moves to get us right back to the title, like, what's in between that? Like, you can't even try to say, well, we're going to make a couple moves this year that we think will get us back to about 50 wins, and then maybe next year we'll have a little flexibility and we'll go try to get this guy, and then we're back in 2 years. Like, you can't even go about it under that timeline if you're still hell-bent on we've got to be a title contender next year. But what about 2 years?
Well, but in a way, I think the reason why they're in a spot now where we're talking about all these different decisions is because they don't have much flexibility. Or financially speaking, like, they have, what, two players that are owed three more years on their deals. It's Draymond and Wiggins. Neither of those two players... Draymond probably has a better contract. Wiggins is not a good contract. Curry has... what, you know, over $100 million left over 2 years. That's not something that, even if you wanted to, is easily movable. Klay Thompson's the easy, but, like, there aren't players right now on the team, I think, that allow them flexibility outside of Chris Paul. I think that was the understated part about that deal last offseason. It was geared for this summer, and I think that's the direction they're moving in. I think the Warriors are trying to remain competitive while also gaining flexibility so that if and when you decide that this thing is officially dead, not the dynasty, because I don't think you can look at them as a champion or dynastic team anymore, but just when you decide that it might be time for Curry to either retire or, I don't know, if you ask for a trade, God forbid, or you decide this offseason that Klay is no longer here, that you don't want, like, when you decide that this thing, whatever the iteration of the Warriors is with the big three and Steve Kerr, is officially dead, you cannot be in a place where you don't have a future to look towards. And that means draft picks, that means contracts, I think the Warriors are trying to figure out how to position themselves for the next couple of summers while still being competitive. Not winning it all,
right,
but being a competitive team that could make a run. I think last year was probably the place that they're looking at as best case scenario, which is a team that dealt with a lot, that had ups and downs for certain players, but still managed to win a first round series and upset a three seed, get into the second round, maybe make some noise. Like, that to me is the most realistic path, or the best case scenario path, for this team next season.
Yeah, and the other thing that, you know, I've always thought about Steph Curry is don't take his kindness for weakness. And, I mean, think about if we had another superstar here. Like, James Harden would want out right now, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he probably would have asked out.
Like, he would want out right now. After this year, the GM would be Daryl Morey, or the GM would be Mike Dunleavy, and James Harden would say, why don't you just move me? We can't, I don't have enough here, and you can get more for me than anybody else. Like, the league does have a history of trading. You know, I remember when the, a little different circumstance, but, you know, Detroit had Grant Hill, and they finally moved him to Orlando, and they got Chucky Atkins, and they got Ben Wallace, who nobody had heard of, and everybody thought, oh, we lost Grant Hill, and they ended up winning a title a couple years later. Nobody ever thought they'd trade Grant Hill and win a title, but they had some good pieces, and it, you know, did they stumble into it? Yeah.
They weren't coming from a place, I mean,
yes,
they weren't coming from a place of championships, at least in recent memory. I know they won in the late 80s twice, but then there was a period that allowed you to get someone like Grant Hill because they were bad. So I don't know. I mean, maybe it is going to take a couple of down years, and maybe that is what's facing Golden State. I also think that's why people are talking about or considering the unthinkable, which is trading Stephen Curry, because the other part of it too is, Steiny, it would be much easier to trade a guy who's 36 than a guy who's 39. And to actually get something of worth in return to restart your franchise, to get a bevy of first-round picks or young, promising, talented players. Yeah, like, I don't think Curry's trade value is getting any higher. I think that's another reason why people are bringing it up.
I think you're right. Here's another reason why people are bringing it up. We always look at it this way, and it's this. Hey, Warrior fans, let's keep an eye on a team that falls apart in the postseason, and then we can go after their star. I look at it almost in another way. Like, I look at, could there be an opportunity for something like this? All right, let's see who falls apart, and then let's see who might think they're Steph Curry away from winning it all. And listen, I mean, you know, if Philly, let me just throw some crap out there. But if the Pelicans get beat in the first round, okay, and they're sitting there with McCollum and Zion, and they don't think Zion wants to be there, but they like Ingram, and they've got some good young pieces with Murphy the third. I mean, you put Steph Curry on the Pelicans, they're probably a title contender, right? For Zion Williamson.
I mean, if you're swapping best players, perhaps. I mean, to me,
what if the Philadelphia 76ers flame out? They know they have to pay Tyrese Maxey monster money,
yeah,
but they just don't, they're just not ready to do it. You think they'd like to pair Curry with Embiid?
Yeah, I think
how would Maxey jumpstart the Warriors?
He'd be awesome.
Again, but that's the kind of trade, or that's the kind of move. Does something happen with the Timberwolves where they think they're a Steph Curry away rather than a Mike Conley? And then you start looking at those young pieces. Again, do I think it's going to happen? No, but it's just another way to look at things, E.
Well, look, everything's on the table, and it's interesting because we're talking about a team that doesn't have a first-round pick. Meanwhile, the 49ers do have a first-round pick for the first time since they traded for Trey Lance, and it's almost like the Warriors, I don't know, Steiny, like, their immediate future is, it's fascinating and it's interesting, but you do have to weigh how much the wins and losses are going to also point you towards, I guess, like, your view of the big three.
Right.
I mean, do you really want to see these three guys if they're not a playoff team? So, for example, I was going down some of the win totals for, like, Kobe, you know, Dirk. Duncan, again, was the only one that kind of had it right, although he contributed to that by not taking very much money down the stretch of his career.
Right.
But Nowitzki, I think his last season was 26-win team, 33 wins the year before that. Like, do you really want to watch Steph Curry, with or without Klay and Draymond, play for a 35-win basketball team? Is that good enough for people? To your point, I'm not sure that's good enough for Lacob, but if Curry says he wants to retire here, that might be what you're looking at, and it's going to be about all the moments and reflections, and we're just going to be sitting up here wondering what the hell happened.
I mean, do Warrior fans ever ask themselves, why would Steph Curry want to stay here for the next 2 years?
Because he's loyal, because he's not James Harden.
That's fair. But I think that's, what if that's the only reason? Because he's loyal. But maybe he knows. Maybe he knows it's over here. I don't know. And if he does, I mean, if he does, why wouldn't he say, let's do everybody a favor? You know why? Because we can't ever envision him doing that, right?
I can't. That's where I think I'd like to believe that he's different. Like, I don't think Curry is looking around the league and saying, I want to go chase a title with that team. Maybe he does. I don't know. I just don't view him like that.
No, and I don't either. But, you know, I also didn't view him as a guy who would get so emotionally distraught during a game that he was, you know, kind of despondent. I mean, the funny thing is we don't, like, we don't know exactly where Steph is right now with this team and how confident he feels moving forward. And to me, I guess that's the biggest part. Can we assume Steph's happy here right now?
I think we can.
Okay. Can we assume he wants to stay here? Does he, you know, do we know if he thinks a title number five is within his realm here? I don't know.
He probably doesn't look at it as a certainty anymore like he used to. But I also think probably we're going to hear a lot about, well, they didn't think we could do it, you know, coming off of 2021. And that's a reason why we are in the place we are, Steiny. But again, if Steph Curry wants to be a Golden State Warrior, he will be one. And I think there's 99% of the fan base that would welcome that.
I think you're right. As long as he wants to be here, I think he'll be here as long as he wants. 888-957-9570 is the number. Look, it's a simple question. Would you even consider moving Steph Curry if you thought that you could fast track getting better more quickly than it looks like it's going to happen? 888-957-9570. Is that what forward-thinking franchises do? Or is that absolutely, positively the craziest thing you've heard today? 888-957-9570. That segment was brought by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.